You're with The Record on KUOW, and we're live tweeting the show at KUOW. I'm Bill Radke. The plight of two orca whales has forced their species survival to the top of the news agenda, and the top of the agenda for a governor-led task force that's meeting today in Wenatchee. Those images of the orca known as Tahlequah carrying her decomposing dead calf and her starving four-year-old family member, these images have some people calling for action to save the orca from extinction. So let's find out what's happening. First with Seattle Times reporter Linda Mapes, who's been covering the story and was out with the Lummi Nation yesterday on a feeding practice run. Good to talk with you again, Linda.
Thank you. Good to be back.
First of all, any news, any sightings of these two troubled orcas and their pod today?
No, absolutely not. The west coast of Vancouver Island is completely socked in with fog. The pod has not been seen since last Friday.
And what do we know that we, besides just peering through fog, is there anything we can tell listeners today who really are following this, you know, on Twitter or online or reading your stuff in the Seattle Times, that just day by hour they want to know, what can you tell us?
Well, it's a dire situation. I mean, last Friday, biologists said they were concerned she perhaps only had a few days to live. I just posted a story at the SeattleTimes.com website about our conversation this morning with biologists at NOAA Fisheries, saying that they are concerned that by the time the pod shows up, she might not even be there. She may already be passed.
You're talking about the four-year-old, J50.
I am.
Yeah.
Yep, talking about J50. This is a young whale, a female whale, who, you know, is just really, really sick. She's so skinny, you can see her cranium. She's possibly got an infection, so there's just a lot of dire concern about her. Now, the mother whale, who was carrying her dead calf for 10 days and counting as of last Thursday, we haven't seen her either. That's Tahlequah. So we don't know if she is still carrying her calf. We just don't know her status. We haven't seen J-Pod. We have seen K&L, but not J. And they do this. You know, they go off on their travels following fish, looking for fish. And they may be back by this afternoon. They could be here right now. We just can't see them for the fog, or they may not be back for a while.
And I talked with a researcher last week about how Tahlequah, J35, the mother, appeared to be stressed and maybe wasn't feeding well. So those are both real concerns. I mentioned the Lummi Nation. They're leading an effort to collect some fish for that four-year-old orca. And this is a bit of a Lummi Nation Natural Resources Enforcement Officer named Aaron Hilaire.
We have the capability of going out, loading up live king salmon, hauling the king salmon to the orcas, and with the help of the biologists, hopefully we can get the right orca to feed and make it all happen.
First of all, Linda, why king salmon? I thought orcas rely on Chinook.
They do. Chinook and king are the same fish, just a different name.
Good call. You were able to go out on a practice run with them as they're trying to feed these king/Chinook. How did that go?
Fantastic. First of all, it was exciting to see these beautiful fish. I mean, it's no secret why they are the monarchs of the sea and why they are the fish that this other monarch depend on. They're big, they're fat, they're gorgeous. There were two of them, at least 15 pounds. These are native Fraser River Chinook, and they're exactly what the southern residents feed on at this time of year. It's what they want. It's what they need. It comprises 99% of their diet in the summer, and they very readily scoop them up out of some reef net gear and transfer them to a tote, which was kept oxygenated for the fish, and did a practice run taking them to a likely spot where the whale would be, and it went smooth as silk. And they're standing by and ready to do this on behalf of this starving whale if they get the call. There are a lot of ifs. Will the whales come back? Is she even in shape to receive this kind of assistance? And all of that is yet to be known.
How do you get close enough to an orca to feed it salmon in a way that the orca will not be stressed out but will be feeding? How's that going to happen?
Well, this is one of the concerns. Obviously, you don't want to make it worse. And NOAA Fisheries, the agency in charge of all this, is very mindful of the need to go gently and go carefully. My own experience of watching researchers working with these whales who have permits that allow them to go closer, whether they need to give them a drug, or they need to sample their breath, or they need to gather their feces, or they need to document them photographically. The whales, you know, they're sovereigns. They're kings of the sea. They're not afraid of people, for better or for worse. They don't run away. So, you know, it's perfectly possible that this could be done and could go very well, but it all depends on what kind of shape she's in and, frankly, if she's even still around to be helped.
Right. Again, in case you just joined us, we haven't seen this this 4-year-old orca for since when? Thursday?
Thursday. Well, you know, it's interesting. I've heard from Soundwatch, who are the people who are out there all the time on the water, Thursday, and today Noah says Friday, but either way, last week.
Mm-hmm. Linda Mapes, a Seattle Times environmental reporter, you've been watching these orcas in distress with all of us for now days and days on end. How distressing has this been for you to cover personally?
Well, it's terrible. I mean, these are signature animals of the Salish Sea, and this is an animal that a lot of us cherish and want to see persevere here. And they depend, interestingly, on Chinook salmon, the other monarch of the Salish Sea. And these animals, I think for many people, are signatures of this place. And to the extent that we cannot sustain them, we're not who we say we are. And so it's much bigger than one whale. It's really about this place. And are we going to take care of the waters of the Salish Sea in such a way that these animals can survive? And it's about so many things. It's about toxins. It's about development. It's about shipping. You know, here we are, the Canadian government just approved the Trans Mountain Pipeline, which would times 7 the tanker traffic in the Salish Sea, carrying tar sands oil. So, you know, you ask ourselves, what can we do? Well, in a lot of ways, we're not even doing the most basic things, such as stepping back and taking care of this place and not wrecking more of the habitat that these animals need. I mean, nobody should be surprised to be reading these stories. I personally have been covering the degradation of the habitat of these animals for 20 years. So I'm glad that people are touched by the plight of Talaqua carrying her infant calf. I think one of the most poignant photos for me last week was of her carrying that calf past a giant coal port right over the border in BC. You know, we don't take those pictures as tourists. No, we take them leaping in pristine waters. The fact is, these animals share industrialized waters with us. They share the most populated waters of the Salish Sea. And to the degree they're going to survive, they need fish from even the urban rivers of Puget Sound. You know, it's up to us and the people of Puget Sound. If these animals are going to be saved, they've got to have something to eat.
Are we who we say we are? It's up to us, says Seattle Times reporter Linda Mapes. Linda, thanks for the update.
Thank you.
Now we're going to talk with somebody who was at today's governor task force meeting. Again, the Governor Inslee has this task force meeting today in Wenatchee and preparing to make some kind of recommendations, we think, in the fall. It's Dr. Deborah Giles, who was a killer whale research biologist for the UW Center for Conservation Biology, science and research director for the nonprofit Wild Orca. Thank you, Dr. Giles.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What do you want to see from the governor's task force? Let's start with today's meeting.
Well, we're just about halfway through, so we just had some breakout sessions for all of the different, the three main topics, and then within the main topics being, three main topics being contaminants, and then prey quality and quantity, and then vessel presence and associated noise. Within each of those topics, there were, additional subheadings, and so we've just gotten through our breakout sessions reviewing with the task force the recommendations or the possible actions that were filtered up from the working groups. And I sat in on the prey and the prey one, and then specifically for hatcheries, predation and harvest. And, you know, it's challenging. There are a lot of interested parties. The most poignant for me was, and it's something that we scientists have been saying for a long time, we killer whale biologists have been saying for a long time, a gentleman, and I'm sorry I don't have his name handy, but he was saying that the whales really need to be factored in when fisheries managers are coming up with allocations for what can be taken and what needs to escape up to their natal spawning ground.
Those limitations would be that
the whales need to be in that figure, and right now they are not in that figure.
I know that the tribes, Indian tribes, are legally entitled to 50% of the fish. Are tribal representatives mm-hmm. talking about catching less than they're entitled to? Or are we talking about limitations on commercial fishers, sport fishers?
Everything right now is being discussed. There are quite a number of different tribal representatives here on the task force, as well as in the three different working groups, which I'm really heartened to see. I'm really happy about that. And right now it's discussions, trying to see what's workable, both for humans and for the whales. And so we're not at the point where it's time to make recommendations to the governor. That will be by November 1st. I can tell you that there are a lot of very exciting possible actions that can be taken. So I'm not in the position. I don't sit on the task force itself. I'm a delegate for the vessel work group and the prey work group. So I'm sitting in right now today as a member of the public to see how our recommendations from the work groups have been filtered up to the task force.
Will the task force recommend dam removal, which I know is a federal issue, but is that on the table, like realistically on the table?
It's being discussed. I can't say how realistic it is or not. I do know that it is, the governor just this last week mentioned that he wants to make sure that the discussion is at least on the table, which I think is very, very good. Everything needs to be on the table. All possible options need to be on the table right now. One other thing to mention, and I think that it is important, and we that are working in this process need to remember too, is that there are 2 years that the governor has set aside to deal with this issue. And when you're talking about individual animals, it's hard to think in those long terms. So for J50 or for J34, those 2 years seems like a really long time. But from a process perspective, that's good news, because what we can't do this year, we might be able to do next year. And I think that that's something that the public needs to remember. Also, as a scientist, I really want to say to the public that you are welcome at these meetings. You're welcome at the work group meetings, and you're welcome at the task force meetings. And there always is an opportunity, as short as it is, but there's always an opportunity for the public to weigh in and have their voice be known. And I want the public to know that.
Doctor, we've talked about solutions, about dams and fishing limits for years and years, and there are so many interests here. There's industry, there's shipping, there's growing, there's fishing, there's irrigation, there's just so many obstacles. It's not like snap a finger, save the orcas. So how big a difference, if any, do you think these latest attention-getting, heartbreaking stories of these two orcas, how much does that change that discussion?
Oh, I think it's huge. I think it has added a sense of urgency to the work groups and to the task force. What we've seen in the past 2 weeks with these whales has made it real. It's not just a thought exercise anymore. I think that the press that this has gotten has advanced this discussion by leaps and bounds. I cannot stress that enough. Linda Mapes' coverage in the Seattle Times has been phenomenal. Allison Morrow, just everybody, KUOW, you guys have been doing some fantastic reporting on this. And the more you guys do that, the more the public becomes engaged, and that's what we need to see. And it filters up and creates that sense of urgency to do something bold.
Final question, Doctor. How long do you think we have before these southern resident orcas go extinct?
People keep asking me that question, and I don't have an answer to that, because it's really about which members we might potentially lose. If we lose many more breeding age females, the population is functionally extinct. We have to have breeding age females. And right now, with J35 having carried her dead calf around for 10 plus days, that's not good news for her. And if we lose her, that would be a really big blow to this population. And we need recruitment. We need the whales to be having their babies, getting pregnant and having viable babies. And right now there's just, they're too food deprived to have that happen. We know that from Dr. Sam Wasser's fecal studies. So the food is the biggest issue right now. We need to figure out a way to get more fish in the water for the whales to find, leave more fish in the water for the whales to find, and then tackle all of the other big issues that are threats to both the whales and to us, because we're not just talking about whales here. We're talking about the people of Puget Sound and the people of the world.
Dr. Deborah Giles is a killer whale research biologist and orca research biologist for the University of Washington Center for Conservation Biology and science and research director for the nonprofit Wild Orca. And she is at that governor's task force meeting in Wenatchee right now, this ongoing meeting. Doctor, we'll let you get back to it. Thanks a lot for this.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for your coverage.